We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. It's Tuesday. It's Stockman's Vet Clinic happy hour, all hour long. Got more about them coming up in the show. First, let's check out some temperatures. Still below freezing in the Panhandle. Looks like it's 31 degrees at Hooker and right at freezing at Beaver at 32. Slap Out, the home of a famous cattle buyer here in Elk City Auction here, Sale Barn. I won't say his name. I think he's shy. But anyway, we'll move on from that. 38 at Arnett, 38 at Medford, 41 at Bessie, 43 at Mangum, and out here in the Panhandle of Texas, 37 at Lipscomb, 40 at Miami, 43 at Dozer, 43 at Odell, 42 at Wellington. I don't know about you guys, but it was pretty chilly at my house this morning. 29. I heard up in Roger Mills County way they had 28. So anyway, I'm sure it was colder up north and warmer down south, just like normal. Anyway, looks like starting next week, I'm trying to give you guys hope. Starting next week, we got more and more chances of rain. We got a 20% chance tomorrow, but anyway, we need some rain bad in a worse way. A lot of areas do. Some areas have got some, but anyway, overall, we all need another rain. We got sub moisture this year. That's the good thing, but that wheat and rye is really going. I don't know. What do you guys think about last night? You think some of that wheat that was really far along, you think it hurt it, or did it not freeze hard enough? So anyway, spinning. I'm going to give away a couple of tickets today. One pair of tickets, actually. For this Friday night at JC Cowboys to see Dean Jackson. If you've never seen the Dean Jackson Band, they're really good. They play at the Alumni at Sayre for the last 3 years, and they'll be back there this Saturday night for Alumni. Anyway, really good band. I like Dean and their band. They're simple. They play country. They play good old rock. Anyway, they're pretty good. So here's my question. So I'm going to take the fifth person to text in. It's gardening season. You know, you heard me talk about it yesterday. You'll be hearing me talk about it for quite a while sometime. Anyway, so our onions, here's the question. Are onions or potatoes or both supposed to be in the ground right now? Are onions or potatoes supposed to be in the ground right now, one or the other, or is both of them supposed to be in? So the fifth person to text in the correct answer gets a free set of tickets to go see Dean Jackson Band at JC Cowboys in Weatherford right along on I-40 this weekend. So anyway, all right, first I need to make a major announcement just because it's tomorrow and you guys are listening maybe. Anyway, the cotton meeting is tomorrow. OSU Extension is putting it on at the Washtenaw County Activity Center there in Cordell, right there on East 3rd Street. Starts at 10 a.m. and it's over at 2:30 p.m. Meal will be provided and prepared by the Next Gen AmeriCot Cotton Seed. 2 CEU credits will be pending. They're going to be talking about herbicides, insecticides, weeds, dicamba training, insects, varieties, trials of cotton, the mesonet, and cottonseed. If you want to go, please RSVP by calling either the Washtenaw County OSU Extension Office or the Beckham County one or the Washtenaw County one. Well, I already said that. Custer County and Roger Mills. How's that? Anyway, cotton meeting tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2:30. Be there or be square. Anyway, let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Inspections of corn and wheat for started a little late there. Soybean futures were lower in overnight trading as the harvest rolls on in Brazil's, adding supplies to the global market. And I checked the up-to-date market a while ago. Nothing's doing anything very good except for cotton, actually. About 69% of the soybean crop and the world's largest exporter of the oilseeds was harvested as of March 21st, according to the Ag Rule. The USDA said in an attaché report, it now forecasts Brazil's soybean production at 157.5 million metric tons, up almost 5 million tons from the previous year. And that's not what been reported last month. Corn futures were slightly lower overnight as precipitation in Brazil is expected to help the second crop as it matures. Moisture in northern Brazil is improving, Commodity Weather Group said. Soybean futures for May delivery fell 4¾ cents to 12.04½ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost $1.10 to $3.40.60 a short ton, and soy oil dropped 0.23 cents to 48.79 cents a pound. Corn futures fell a half a penny to $4.37¼ a bushel. Wheat futures for May delivery was down a half a penny to $5.54½ a bushel. And Kansas City futures dropped 5¾ to $5.83¾ a bushel. Inspections of corn and wheat for overseas delivery declined week to week, while bean assessments increased, according to the USDA. Corn inspections in the 7 days that ended on March 21st fell to 1.23 million metric tons. That's down from 1.33 million a week earlier. But well ahead of what happened last year at 688,000 tons. Examinations of wheat for offshore delivery dropped to 315,395 tons, down from 394,000 tons the week before, and also down from last year when they assessed 403,000 tons, same period last year. Soybean inspections last week rose to 768,000 tons, up from 700,000 tons the previous week, but down from last year's 892,000 tons. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the agency has expected 24.4 million tons of corn for exports, up from 18.3 million same time last year. Soybean assessments since the beginning of September now stand at 36.6 million tons. The government said that's well below the 45 million tons that were assessed during the same period last year. Wheat inspections since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st are now at 14.2 million. That's down from 16.7 million last year. Weather in our agriculture farm belt. Everywhere. It's all over the place. Blizzard warnings remain in effect for east central Nebraska, where snow is blowing and winds are gusting. Another inch of snow on top of what has already fallen is in the forecast for today. Wind gusts as high as 45 miles an hour. In northern Minnesota, meanwhile, a winter storm warning will remain in effect till this evening. Mixed precipitation is expected with 4 inches of snow and a light glaze of ice in the forecast. So anyway, around here, not too bad. The wind's blowing a little bit today, but it's still not too bad out here. Also, let's see here. I got something that I need to share before we go to, let's see if I can find it. Here it is. All right. I got this via the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association favorite lady. Lori Campbell sent this to me last night. She had been listening yesterday, and I told you guys yesterday that I was glad I didn't read that deal last week from these dairy cows not producing and getting sick a little bit. Anyway, here you probably already heard this, but here's the deal. The USDA announced yesterday that unpasteurized milk samples from sick cattle at two dairy farms in Kansas and one in Texas, as well as a swab from another dairy in Texas, tested positive for the HPAI, the highly pathogenic avian influenza. That's the bird flu, we call it. Crazy. Anyway, the USDA stressed that the commercial milk supply is not at risk. Initial testing by the National Veterinary Services Laboratories has not found changes to the virus that would make it more transmittable to humans, which would indicate that the current risk to the public remains really low. Wild migratory birds are believed to be the source of the infection, and the bird flu has primarily affected domestic poultry flocks, which in late 22 and early 23 reported infections of mink, otters, and sea lions, raised the risk of a spillover into humans. Martin Beer, head of the Institute of the Diagnostic Virology, I don't even know if I said that right, in Germany, told the medical journal JAMA in February of 23 that an outbreak of on a mink farm in Spain deserves special attention. Spread between mammals might allow for further adaptations to the to the host of the virus. Fewer than 900 human cases of the avian influenza, this type now circulating, have been reported in the last 20 years. The dairy cow tests were made as part of an investigation by the USDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the state vet and public health officials, into an illness among primary older dairy cows in Texas, Kansas, and New Mexico that is causing the decreased lactation, low appetite, and other symptoms. In the statement, the USDA said at this stage there's no concern about the safety of the commercial milk supply or that this circumstance poses a risk to consumer health. Dairies are required to send only milk from healthy animals into processing for human consumption. Milk from the impacted cat animals is being diverted or destroyed so that it does not enter the food supply. In addition, pasteurization has continued proven to be inactive bacteria and viruses like the flu in milk. It's required for any milk entering the interstate commerce. It's checked very well, they said. For the dairies whose herds are exhibiting symptoms, on average, about 10% of each affected herd appears to be impacted, with little to no associated mortality reported amongst the animals. Milk loss resulting from this to the cattle from that have symptoms to the date is limited to having a major impact, not to have an impact on supply that should be no price impact on price or other dairy cattle. How about that? Well, speaking of veterinarians, let's see what, here we go. Let me open this up. If it'll open, there it is. With spring calving winding down, it's time to plan spring calf working and a vaccination program for your cow herds. Call us as we can work together on a program and a schedule that will fit your needs and production schedule. Also, providing a full line of equine services, including vaccines and dental. Remember that good, clean water is the most important nutrient for all of our pets and livestock. Please check your water sources regularly. Proudly serving all Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, providing a full service to all species except rattlesnakes, I heard, in a complete mixed animal practice, called Dr. Taylor Mouse at 580-225-0200 to schedule a visit or After Hours Emergency Service. They are the sponsor of All Hour for the Happy Hour all day today. Anyway, let's take a break. I'm going to come back. If I can get a hold of him, we'll have Brandon Hickey on here to talk about what happened at the Elk City Sale Barn and the Western Oklahoma Sale Barn. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com. High cotton.
SCI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SCI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SCI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 25th. 1,062 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 490 brought 373. 24 at 817 brought 233. 16 at 832 brought 241. 6 at 857 brought 241. 59 at 886 brought 230. 9 head of heifers at 452 brought 318. 5 at 613 brought 263. 10 at 688 brought 231. 15 at 736 brought 237.50. 64 at 810 brought 217.25. 24 at 859 brought 216. Butcher cows were 10 to 156. Butcher bulls brought 65 to 184. Bred cows were 1600 to 1980. Pairs brought 1725 to 2200. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. We have 40 degrees, 40.8 degrees to be exact, here at the Gabe Gadgets Mezzanet Center in our studio. 38% humidity and 6 to 7 mile an hour wind here. I don't know how accurate that is, but anyway, we live in amongst all these big buildings in the city, so we don't get an accurate reading. But Canadian, Texas, 41 degrees, wind chills 32, humidity's 32, dew points 13. The winds are out of the northwest at 17 with gusts up to 20. Peak wind gust today, 35 miles an hour. Month to date precipitation, 7/100 of an inch. Sub-freezing minutes today, 614. 8-inch soil temperature has really dropped in the last 2 days, 49 degrees, and that's your ag weather update for the Panhandle of Texas. Well, speaking of cattle, I have the famous Brandon Hickey on the phone with me right now. Good Tuesday afternoon, Mr. Hickey.
You as well, Jimmy.
Anyway, man, you made my day yesterday when you sent that report earlier. I had something to brag on about bulls yesterday during the show, and you outdone it.
So, yes, sir.
Yeah, that was awesome. Buck 84, yes, right? And he weighed 1950, yes. I guess?
Yes, sir.
You can.
Yeah, 1940, I believe. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. Well, anyway, you had a good sale at the I'll save my comments about the cooks till late. And anyway, because I get to talk about them this time. Anyway, you had a really good sale Friday. I was in there 8, and then I came in there and watched those two big groups come through there. What was it, 92 head and 76 head? One, the
94 and 72, I believe.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Anyway, man, That old boy was happy.
Yes, sir.
He was. He was really happy. He was sitting there in front of me, and he had a smile on his face. So that was good.
Yep.
You want happy customers, right?
Absolutely. So that's always the goal.
I was sitting next to who was I? Oh, Jimmy Dunlap. I was poking at him to buy him, but he wouldn't even raise his hand.
Get in the market like that, Neil, you better sit still and not flinch.
I know. Sometimes you wonder, just be still, be careful. But I will have to say about the sale Friday that the front row down there in front of the sale ring was full of Roger Mills County people. How about that?
Yes, sir.
Even the secret weapon was there. So,
yes, sir.
So anyway, you had, what was it? I forgot to get my deal open here. Too many people texting me about my vowels pronunciation today. here we go. We got Elk City. You had 1,267 head.
Yes, sir.
And they did well, both girls and bulls.
Yes. Nice run. Good cattle all the way through, lightweight cattle on fire again, several bunches over $4 again. And, of course, like you mentioned, those big, nice strings of feeder cattle we had in there from Wellington, 245 in the 8, what'd they weigh, 818, 820, somewhere along in there. And 271 weighing 748, that was pretty good. And the cattle had just a little condition to them, and boy, they was coming to the front on those cattle.
Yeah, they was. And you know what? That was a good – that I'm not a cattle buyer. I'm not going to ever say I am. That's why I hire professionals to buy my cattle. But them look like they had room. They're probably going to the feed yard, I'm guessing, feedlot, I'm guessing, you think, or they're going to go up finish on some wheat.
The big end probably did, but that light end, they probably went back out to graze somewhere for a while. Why they was able to give so much more for those cattle, you know, getting up there in that 270s at that mid 7 weight. But you know, those cattle are probably going either to Flint Hills grass or back out to graze out wheat. And so, you know, nice set of cattle, but you can tell that they hadn't been as good a wheat as it is east of here. You know, they'd been on wheat back in the Texas Panhandle, and you know, the cattle had grown and framed up good, but they hadn't put any flesh, and that made them, you know, both sets desirable to the buyers, especially those lightweights that they felt like they could turn back out and get some more room on and actually graze and get a little bit of that more of that cheaper cost of gain on them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say. It looked like both sets. That's why I asked if you thought they was going to the feedlot or going to the grass. They looked like they had room to put some on. They were good cattle. They just looked like they had some room to put some meat on them.
Yes, sir.
So that was all good. And then on the heifers, the girls, you had a lot of middleweights in there, the fours, the fives in there. And, man, they were just – there was some – some from Elk City there, I think, weighed 450, 445, somewhere in there, brought $2.90 a pound, and there was some that brought over $3. That's pretty good for little girls.
Yeah. It was a good day on the heifer end, too. Didn't have very many of the big heifers like we had of the big steers, but lots of them good lightweight cattle, nice strings of good lightweight heifers. The greens out there east of Elk City always bring us some really good cattle, and they had another string in there this week. Just really good front end, high quality cattle, but with good condition on them. You know, not real fleshy and fat. And they those cattle always sell really good. Reputation deal that we get every year, and really enjoy selling those cattle, and they always do really well. And you always get good reports back from the people that buy them, how good they do, how good the cattle straighten out and grow for them.
Well, that slaughter cows and bulls, crazy. Mm-hmm. So when do you think they'll stabilize or maybe come down a little bit? Not that I'm wishing they do, but, you know, at some time or another, the price is going to reach over into the grocery stores, and that might slow things down.
Right. You know, we're
I'm not real sure when we're going to stabilize. I mean, we've got to come up with some more numbers, I think, to come through of slaughtered cows to really stabilize this thing. And, you know, and I don't see that any time right away coming down the pike. You know, I think their numbers are just going to kind of keep getting tighter here. And you know, the packer margins are going to have to get squeezed somewhat for them to be able to keep product on the shelves. And then also, you know, how much they're able to get the retailers to go up is going to be a question. You know, that's the $64 million question is how far are we going to get the real retailers to come up buying the beef, and then how far are they going to be able to push it up on the consumers, you know. But it's getting to a very interesting point right now, because we're getting where that hamburger's fixing to get up there really close to the steak price if something don't change pretty quick. And that'll be interesting to see what happens. Like we talked about last week, something's got to give. Either that fat cattle price and those steak prices and whatnot have got to break on up to the upside, which should have already happened. Or you know, if that's not going to happen, you know, this slaughter cow price is going to have to go down, and the hamburger's going to have to go down, because that, you know, it won't take these consumers very long to figure out that this hamburger is really high compared to what it usually is in comparison to steaks.
Yeah, it's a crazy world we're living in. Hey, I got a question for you, and I thought about this. I should have just came ask you at the sale the other day, but so I had Professor Paul Beck on here from OSU last week, and he was talking about his Holstein beef cross deal that they've been working on with some of the feedlots and some of the feed companies and stuff. Have you ever got a set of those Holstein beef crosses through the sale barn, and how'd they do?
Yeah, we have had some of them. A discount, you know, to the good front end calves without a doubt, but putting that half beef cross in them sure lowers the discount. And the thing that the reports back I've got from those cattle is, you know, that they end up grading really good. You know, they'll
that's
hit
what
the
he said.
Yeah, they'll hit the grids really good, and you'll end up even with a lot of primes on those. The only downside to them is it just takes them longer to get there. The feed efficiency isn't quite as good, and it takes a little bit longer to get them there. You know, the average daily gain is not going to be as high as the beef calves, and the conversion's not going to be quite as good. But that being said, you know, you're starting out with you know, a couple of $100 less than those cattle, and you're spending a little bit more time getting them there, but they're hitting the grids real good when they do. So, you know, you're saving your upfront investment's not going to be as high, but you are going to spend a little bit more money in feed and getting them there. But the end result is, from what I've been told and what little bit of looking into it I've done, seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's way better than just coming in there with some Holstein calves or jerseys or whatever. Anyway, coming in there with no mix in them, because we all know where that's going to go. If you look in the back end of them cows, you don't see no meat back there. I was going to say something else.
Well, and these packers have gotten so dadgum picky that, you know, that we've seen more than once that they've just, you know, one or two of the packing companies just like, you know, we're not going to kill dairy crops. You know, we're not going to kill straight dairy, you know, and these guys that's got these sitting around in the feed yard that they spent all this time getting them fat, and all of a sudden we're not picking those up. We're not, you know, we're not going to kill that kind,
right?
You know, and they might go 2 or 3 months and nod, and you know, and you know, that's a perishable product. You've got to do something. You can't just continue to feed it and get it bigger and bigger and bigger. So you end up, you know, having to take those and put them on a rail at one of the cow meat price. Cow meat plants, which is not as bad of a deal right now as it has been in the past, but also we're tied enough on numbers, you know, the packers can't afford to be quite as picky. But, you know, that being said, they still get to a point every now and then where they just say, we're not killing them if they look like they're dairy cross, or if they're straight dairy, or if they're straight longhorn, or you know, there's even been times we're not going to mess with them if they're straight Bramers. And you know, it's just it's frustrating. It'd be really frustrating as a feeder to to have these cattle that you've spent all this time feeding, and you know, and they should be a good product.
Yeah.
You know, should be a good product for the consumers, and you know, and the packers are able to say, hey, we're not taking those that look like that for whatever reason, and you know, it's frustrating to. Because you can't ever guess when that's going to happen, and you know probably it's not going to happen in the next several months while we're tighter on these numbers. But you know, again, like we talked last week, you know they're slowing the chain speeds. They're trying to increase these carcass weights, and it was interesting to me that cattle on feed reports. You could tell that it must have got leaked again. That was coming out Friday. We had a pretty good. Hey, Thursday and Friday prior to that report, you know, we had all of that kind of in there that it was going to come out, those placements was going to come out bigger than expected. But I think the people that are putting out those average guesses, they must be sitting in offices. They're not sitting in these sale barns because, you know, you go to these sale barns in Oklahoma and, you know, look at the wheat pasture runs, and we all had big wheat pasture runs in February. You know, our February glut, our March glut happened in February this year. I mean, as soon as that Sunup program come out with that 8% holostim report there the first week of February, and all of a sudden here they came, and you know, we were all running big runs in February. So, I really, really shocked that there was so many people shocked about that big placement number, you know, and it's going to be probably totally reversed when we get into our March placements because, I mean, we all had big runs the first week of March, and then since then, you know, it's pretty well shut off the tap and on these wheat pasture runs and these cattle, these feedlot-ready cattle. So, you know, I was really surprised that there were so many people shocked and surprised about that, but I was also really pleasantly surprised to see that they you know, they had that bid worked into the market Thursday and Friday, and then, you know, we ended up yesterday, slightly up after that because, you know, there was a lot of people, oh, my gosh, that's going to wreck it Monday. We're going to be down so hard Monday, and that didn't materialize. So, you know, glad to see that. But still, again, frustrating that there was obviously a lot of people, a lot of traders that had that information before it actually officially got released at 2 o'clock Friday afternoon.
Well, according to the board today, something's happening. So
yeah.
So we got feeders for April down over $5 and May down over $5 and lives are down over $3. So and maybe it's hitting today, but you know what we need to do? We need to find that guy in Washington or wherever they're at that releases to release this, these reports that leaks them out, mm-hmm. bring them to mm-hmm. the Elk City sale barn
mm-hmm.
and set, Bow deal on one side.
Yeah.
And Dustin on the other side.
Yeah.
And then a couple in front and one standing behind him to make him nervous.
Yeah.
And see what he thinks.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk to you about second calf heifers because they're never in the reports.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, we better move on before I take up the whole show. What about yesterday at Clinton?
Good run. Some really nice feeder cattle again, coming off the wheat. Again, you know, a little bit of nervousness with the report on Friday, but it affected the cash market very, very little. We was maybe a little bit down from the prior Monday, but really not very much. And calf deal was still really good. Had a nice little run, offering of some unweaned calves, and that market was really good. Some of those cattle was new crops, and again a discount compared to the older aged cattle with some condition, but not as much as one might think. And you know, still looking for some calves out there, and that was good to see. And then of course, as you saw in the reports, and it got into the cow market, cow and bull sale. I mean, the butcher cows and bulls just absolutely exploded, and we had some really nice, good, high yielding cows and bulls. Obviously, by the prices, you could see that. But boy, it was very, very a lot of competition.
Well, all your eight weights, if my calculator was working correctly, all the eight weights looked like you had a lot of feeders there, like you said, but all your eight weights were still bringing over $2,000. So that ain't nothing to sneeze about. So anyway, so you got anything coming up at Elk City or Western Oklahoma you want to tell everybody about this week?
We got a really nice run of both some old bred cows. We've got two different sets of old bred cows coming in this week. And then also got 74, mostly 3 and 4 and a few 5 year old, heavy bred cows going to be there this week. Have a good offering of heavy bred, young cows, hard to find, that's going to be there this week. And, a quality, really good, nice cows, big, you know, weighing in the 12s, kind of like, you know, right in there where everybody kind of wants them. So really excited about that this coming this week. And then, at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction on Monday, you've already got a consignment of 155. They'll be mostly heavy 7 to light 9 weight steers, sweet pasture steers coming in. Got that consignment already coming in over there. So expecting a good run of cows and calves at Elk City on Friday, and especially those, really excited about those young bred cows. And And then already got some good feeder cattle consignments lined up for next Monday. So hopefully they'll get this down day out of their system, and numbers will rule the day on these on this futures board. We'll get it all lined out before this weekend, I hope.
Yeah, and I just looked at it a little bit. It's actually come off a little bit. Refresh. Yeah, I was wanting to say refurbish, but anyway, refresh that deal, and it's already backing off just a little bit already, so I didn't see the 5 numbers on there, so that's good. So anyway, well, yep. Brandon, thanks for your time again. It's a pleasure to talk to you every Tuesday, and I'll just save my breath on the ladies at the cafe till next week. How's that?
Probably be safer for both of us.
Yes, sir. Anyway, all right. Have a great day.
Yep. Thanks, Jimmy.
All right. Let's take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-06. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma, has dedicated their life to supporting your farm's success because farming is their way of life. Their superior high-pro feeds are expertly formulated to meet the nutritional needs of your livestock. They provide bulk feed delivery straight to your farm, or for smaller quantities, they offer a variety of feed bags and sacks in different sizes. When it comes to your livestock feed, choose excellence. Choose Hobart Farm and Garden.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Come out to the little town on the prairie, Canadian, Texas, and attend the 2024 Hip Hill County, Texas A&M AgriLife Beef Cattle Conference Tuesday and Wednesday, April 23rd and 4th. It's going to be a power-packed beef cattle conference with some of the best speakers talking about some of the most critical issues of the beef cattle business, our markets, our climate, our genomic, ranching for profit. Also, we're going to have a great
April
time socializing.
The 13th,
get your tickets
we
today.
We have our filter sales event going on. You save up to 40%. On all Napa Gold filters. We will be doing our tool sale also April 1st through April 6th We're offering 10% off of all Carlisle tools, 5% off of lifts, 5% off of compressors, Milwaukee tools on sale, toolboxes, tool sets. We're also going to have some giveaways on the 5th is our customer appreciation launch.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd.
Blair Tire and Feed is helping you save some money. Firestone Ag is holding its Spring Into Savings event. That means you're going to save big money on the tires you need. Most Firestone radial tires are included in the sale, like their expanded line of 82 technology patterns and sizes. Eligible standard radial tires will have a $200 discount. Eligible 82 radial tires will have a $300 discount. That's big time savings on big time tires during a big time event. The Firestone Ag Spring Into Savings event at Blair Tire and Feed.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sarah Farmers Co-op. Sarah Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sarah Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sarah Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sarah or give them a call at 928-2664.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Oh boy, you guys bear with me here a second. I just hit the wrong button on the computer. I got to go back and do it all over again. Here we go. All right, here is your Northwestern Oklahoma ag weather forecast. As soon as I get it in here, man, I hit the wrong button. It just deleted everything on my computer. Cool. I'm so smart. All right, here we go. Alva. 41 degrees. Feels like 33. Dew points 20. Humidity's 43. Winds out of the northwest at 13 with wind gust up to 21. 23/100ths of an inch have fallen in Alva in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 52 degrees. Fractional 1-day average 10-inch fractional water 1.0. Sunset at 7:52. Partly sunny and 50 for today. 23 for tonight. And then tomorrow, slight chance of rain, 20%, high for 50, and no wind. How about that? Okay, bear with me here a second. I got to get this all back up here. I'm going to stall you for a minute. Anyway, I have a winter. Man, you guys, there was 30 answers came in. All of them were right. It's potatoes and onions, but congratulations. And I'm going to mess her back name, her last name up. Heather Stallman. I guess is that how you say that? Anyway, congratulations to Heather Stallman. She won a pair of tickets to go see Dean Jackson at JC Cowboys this coming Friday. Anyway, everybody was right. They said either both or onions or potatoes. Everybody was right. See, it wasn't even a trick question. It was just a question. Anyway, bear with me here a second. Let me get my email back up. Well, heck, I can just go with the commodities real quick, and we'll do that, and I'll take a break and get everything else back up because I got to take one more break. All right, here's some live numbers from the market right now. The futures, May corn 435 down 2, July is 448 down 3, soybeans for May 1201 down 8, soybean meal for May 340.60 down a buck 10. Soybean oil May 48.51 down 51. Hard red winter wheat down 11 for May at 578. Cotton is the only thing that I really see in green besides sugar. Sugar daddy's doing good. Anyway, May cotton's 93.62, up 160. And July cotton's 94.06, up 152. Oil, West Texas is down 11 cents at 81.84. Natural gas is actually up a little bit today, but still not enough. April 162, up 1. The Dow, the S&P, and NASDAQ are all in the green today. Live cattle, April 183.35, down 285. June is 178.57, down 302. Feeder cattle for March, 247.45, down 2. April is 245.20, down 525. And May is 247.10, down 552. Lean hogs, not too bad. April 85, 72, up 57. May is 91, 85, down 7. So anyway, let's take a break. And when we come back, I just seen the milk deal there, the future on milk. I don't think that deal happening in Kansas, Texas, and New Mexico and Oklahoma has affected it at all. It looks like it's pretty stable today. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break and come back. Maybe I won't hit the wrong button. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, Ken Russ here at Hobart Stockyards. We are having a registered Black Angus bull sale March 30th here at Hobart Stockyards. These bulls will be semen tested and ready to go, selling 20 2-year-olds and 15 3-year-olds. They are out of proven stock, low birth weight and high weaning weight. Go to our Facebook page, Hobart Stockyards, where you can see the videos of these bulls. Sale is March the 30th at Hobart Stockyards. Sale starts at 12 noon, and we'll see you there.
For 20 years, Brandon and Jill Culver of Culver Electric have been your trusted name in residential and commercial electrical needs. Here's Brandon.
This is Brandon Culver with Culver Electric. On behalf of all the Culver Electric family, we want to say thank you to all of our many dedicated customers for relying on us to serve you for 20 years. We have grown in so many ways and in areas we never dreamed possible. None of this would have been possible without y'all. We value your trust and loyalty in the many ups and downs along the way to reaching this milestone. We will continue to give you the best quality service to all of Western Oklahoma. From all of us here at Culver Electric to all of you, thank you so much. And we look forward to the next 20 years.
Culver Electric. For all your residential and commercial electrical needs, give them a call 580-243-5846 or stop by 1823 West 20th Street in Elk City.
The business I've done with Oilfield, they got to see your face. They got to see somebody coming in to see them, whether it's weekly, biweekly, monthly, whatever the customer prefers, that's what we're going to do. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings, hydraulic hose, Oilfield suction hose, lay flat hose, all types of fittings, hydraulic fittings, camlock fittings. We also carry black pipe fittings, air brake fittings for semis, brass ball valves. In the oil field, sometimes you get a call for a crazy, hey, can you get this? And you go find it for them. Oil field or agriculture. So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in, we'll build it. You're a oil field customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you and take an order or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. My company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I just got an awesome picture from my wife. The plastic is on the high tunnel. Stay tuned for more progress, everybody. Anyway, let's see here. Whoa, let's go do Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. I've picked the big city of Eric, Oklahoma, home Roger Miller. 46 degrees, feels like 42, dew point's 22, humidity's 39, winds are out of the north northwest at 8 miles an hour, 10-day rain total, 11 one-hundredths of an inch, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 55, 1-day average 10-inch 10-inch fractional water. 0.9, sunset at 7:56, sunny and 54 today. Winds are going to let up a little bit. And then tonight, a chance of rain, 30%, 31 for a low, and chance of rain and or snow tomorrow, 30% chance that is, and 52 for a high. How about that weather forecast? It is Oklahoma. What can I say? Anyway, I wanted to share this with you. This come from Nakona Cook. How about that? Let's see here. Cloud Chief Fire Department 15th annual fundraiser, Sunday, April the 7th. That's a week from this coming Sunday, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Curbside pickups also available. Calf fry and catfish dinner. Sounds good. Adults are $15. Children 12 and under, $10. Advanced tickets available from any Cloud Chief firefighter, Washtenaw County. This will be at the Washtenaw County Activity Center. And so anyway, you guys know me. We need to raise funds for our local fire department. So please help out with the Cloud Chief calf fry and catfish dinner coming up a week from this coming Sunday. Easter weekend's already here. It's crazy, isn't it? All right, let's see. Today is Hay Day Tuesdays. Real brief outlook. Alfalfa hay. I'm looking at it. Kansas premium alfalfa hay is anywhere from 220 to 315. Good is 160 to 310. That 310 being delivered. Missouri's 200 to 350 for premium. 150 to 200 for good. Oklahoma saying here 200 to 270. That 270 being delivered. And good quality alfalfa hay is 150 to 180 with both of those being delivered. Texas, a whole different ballgame. 300 to 390 with that 390 being delivered. And 280 to 310 on good quality alfalfa hay, that 310 being delivered. On grass hay or others, Kansas 140 to 250 on premiums. Missouri 225. Oklahoma, nothing available. And South Dakota 175 to 180. Texas 300 to 340 for good premium grass hay or others. That 340 was being delivered. So anyway, I think the hay market is kind of iffy right now, to be honest with you. Okay, let's see here. More than a dozen lawsuits are filed over the Texas Panhandle wildfires. Lawyers gathered over the weekend in the Texas Panhandle to hold a town hall meeting to focus on more than a dozen lawsuits filed in the wake of the deadly and destructive wildfires. Most have been filed against Xcel Energy and blamed it for causing the fires that burned more than 1 million acres of land and eventually spread into western Oklahoma. Dozens of homes were destroyed and the death toll on livestock is into the thousands. Many of the suits blame Xcel Energy and poor maintenance of its wooden utility poles, as reported by the Amarillo Globe News. So there you got that going on. All right. Another deal here is what was a lackluster winter season regarding outbreaks of very cold weather and organized winter storms on the plains and across Corn Belt and other sections of the country, and namely in west and across the south. It was a textbook El Nino-driven winter season with frequent bouts of moisture and wide-ranging temperatures. Precipitation over the west and across the south was enough to improve dramatically dry or drought-ridden conditions. For only the second time since 2015, above average amounts of snowfall were noted across the Sierra ranges of California, with water equivalency of for summer runoffs upwards of 2 feet of equivalent rainfall. There was exceptions such as in Southern Plains area of New Mexico and the Panhandle regions of Oklahoma and Texas. Here, bouts of high wind from desert regions or downsloping off the Southern Rockies contributed to ongoing extreme to exceptional drought conditions. Furthermore, this pattern added in the development and reoccurrence of destructive wildfires to this area. I disagree with that. Anyway, what happened is last year we had good moisture in the Panhandle, in the Texas Panhandle, and Oklahoma, Northwest, they had good grass growth. So anyway, now with the arrival of spring season, weather has made a dramatic change to a far more active pattern, mainly focused across the plains and Midwest corn belts. So many locations extending from the northern plains and southeastern into the parts of the north, or the corn belt to be exact, set records for winter season warmth as well as absence of rain and snow. Meanwhile, sections of the eastern corn belt have seen a significant improvement to soil moisture levels. So let's take a look on it here in a couple weeks and see what's happening, see if these guys are right or wrong. Anyway, we got that going on. Also, guys, keep a check on your animals, especially your baby calves with the warm weather. We might have an outbreak of early ticks. Cold weather doesn't kill ticks, but it just keeps them hidden for longer. So anyway, keep an eye on your dogs, all your pets, and your calves, especially for ear ticks on that deal. Anyway, tomorrow, see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma.